Open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Can everyone in the back hear me? Okay, great. Thanks, Gail. It is the sixth Sunday of the Easter season. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
6 Sundays ago, we celebrated Jesus' resurrection, his triumph over sin and darkness. He defeated death. As we look to his rising to life, we are comforted. We are comforted in knowing that neither suffering nor death has the final word. If Jesus, who was crucified on the cross and laid to rest in a tomb, dead for 3 days, rose to life, if Jesus rose to life, then surely we, as little Christs, as Christian, the word Christian means, surely we, as little Christs, can hope for something like it. Yes, transformation and rebirth, beating the odds, is God's will for our lives too, both here on earth and in the life to come. And so, with expectant, hopeful hearts, we proclaim, Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Lord is risen.
Alleluia. In this Eastertide season, we have been celebrating our new life in Christ. And as the church calendar has it, we are now observing that time after Christ's resurrection when he is walking the earth, appearing to his followers, stunning them with this miracle of his risen presence. So today, as a congregation in the liturgical year, we look forward to Christ's ascension when he is taken up into heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father. Ascension is this Thursday, which we'll commemorate again next Sunday, and a week after that, as Jesus promised, even though he leaves us, at least in the physical sense, God is sending us at Pentecost an advocate, a helper, the Holy Spirit, to be with us forever. What great news! The gospel reading today proclaims that Jesus the Son, because he is leaving, asks the Father to send the Holy Spirit to be with us forever, so that even though Jesus is leaving, at least in his fleshly form, we are not alone. God is with us. So let's situate ourselves on the night when Jesus spoke these hopeful, comforting words to his disciples. It is nighttime before the Passover festival. Jesus knows that he will be leaving this world. He will be leaving his beloved friends. Jesus and his beloved friends have supper together. During that supper, he suddenly knows something. It's as if the Father has told him. They have such close communication, the Father and the Son and John. It's as if the Father has told him, and he knows that his time has come. Judas will betray him, one of the disciples at this dinner. So in the middle of dinner, when Jesus receives this insight from the Father, Jesus gets up. What's going on? His disciples are probably wondering, a little bit uneasy. He takes off his outer robe, ties a towel around himself, and pours water into a basin. He begins to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel. Not only does this come at an odd time in the middle of dinner, signifying that something is not normal, the master, Jesus, is washing the servant's feet a little backwards. Do you know what I have done to you? He asks. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I have set you an example. Servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. Interesting. This is an inversion. The confusion heightens when Jesus symbolically dips the bread and gives it to the one he knows who will betray him. Judas steals off into the night. Some of the disciples are probably on edge at this point. And then, as if to heighten their anxiety, he tells them, "I am leaving. I am with you only a little while longer. And as I said to those chief priests and Pharisees and the police, these authorities, I said, you cannot come with me. Where I am going, you cannot come." Peter says, "What do you mean I cannot follow you? I will lay down my life for you." Philip says, "Lord, just show us the Father and we'll understand all these things you're saying." Jesus' friends are on edge and confused. There's a growing anxiety in the room. Our teacher and our friend is leaving us, and he's saying we can't come with him? At this point, Jesus reassures them with the words, Jesus reassures them with the words we have read in the gospel today. "Keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father to send the Spirit of truth to be with you and among you forever. You know this Spirit because he is already with you. The Spirit abides with you, and the Spirit will be among you. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Because of this, because of your love for me and your keeping my commandments, my Spirit will be with you." Wow. The tension in the room starts to dissipate. His words are incredibly comforting to these anxious disciples, whose teacher was leaving, this itinerant teacher whom all 12 left, their homes, their lives, their family. All 12 left their lives to follow this traveling teacher. And now they couldn't follow him? What were they to do? What were they to do? Well, thankfully, Jesus did leave instructions. At the washing of the feet, he said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So these commandments that they need to keep in order for the Spirit to come, one of them is to love one another. Not only did the disciples need to hear this, this promise that when they loved one another, Jesus would be among them, so also did the Johannine community, the community in which the gospel narrative of today took its final form in the late first century. This Johannine community of John's gospel did not know Jesus when he was alive. So they needed some words of comfort, some way of knowing that their Lord and Savior was still with them. This gospel text was comforting to them. Is it comforting to you? Do you know that the Spirit of truth is with you? Do you know that the Spirit of truth abides in you? Do you know that the Spirit of truth is in you, is among you? As another translation of the gospel could be today, the Spirit of truth is among you. I am here on my last Sunday as an intern to tell you that I have witnessed the Spirit of truth among you. In my 4-month stay as Young Priest Initiative intern, I have experienced the Spirit of truth here at Holy Comforter. Let's talk about Jesus' command to welcome the stranger. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I remember that first Sunday. The greeter, who did not know me, I was a complete stranger to her, She made me feel like I was a special visitor. I remember I sat in front of a couple who tapped me on the shoulder during the first hymn. They gave me the hymnal turned to the correct page of the song that I could not find in Wonder, Love, and Praise. From the first Sunday, I knew this was a special place. At each ministry meeting I attended, pastoral care, outreach, adult formation, HOCO Eco, finance, worship, editorial board, just to name a few, I was welcomed at the start. Welcome, Maria, Young Priest Initiative intern. You didn't have to do that, but you did. You also didn't have to learn my name, but each one of you did. You wanted to know where I was from, what led me here, where I was going. You took a sincere interest in me. You invited me enthusiastically to participate in your worship each Sunday and to take part in your ministries. And that made me feel a true sense of belonging. So I'd say to you, you have kept Jesus' commandment to welcome the stranger. And I, the once stranger, know from this that you all are followers of Christ. He has sent the Spirit of Truth to this community. I know the Spirit of Truth is here from the love you have for one another. You treat one another with the same kindness that you treated me. You pray for one another. You give your time and energy to the life of this parish. Whether it's children's chapel, property management, altar guild, Sunday morning coffee hour, the love you have for this parish is sincere. I see it in your welcoming demeanor and your actions. You also love the people who don't attend worship here. At the food pantry, you allow participants to shop, to choose their own food and retain some autonomy in an otherwise vulnerable situation. In the yard sale, you hauled your couches, your lamps, and frames, which was no small task. Spring cleaning's not easy. And guess how much money you raised? The yard sale raised $3,400. And all of these proceeds, raised from your hard work and energy, you will not take for yourselves, but you will give back to the community. You will give it to feed hungry families and to help children learn about God's love in this summer's Passport to Peru. This community is amazing. It's amazing because you love Jesus. You keep his commandments. And God sends the Spirit of Truth to be with you all. So as you look forward to Pentecost, the day when the Father sends the Spirit, let it be a time of celebration. Celebrate the Spirit of Truth, which God has sent you because you love her. This Spirit lives and moves among you all. As you prepare for this celebration, I would invite you to consider the gifts that the Spirit has given you. What gives you joy? What gives you peace? Do you love working with children? Can you cook a tasty meal? Take the spiritual gifts survey on our website. Maybe you want to reassess where your gifts could best be used. I encourage you to pray over this. Perhaps light a candle and, in the steady silence of your own heart, ask God, God, what are you calling me to do in your service? What are you calling me to do in your service? How can I demonstrate my love for you? How can I keep your commandments? There are many ways to show love for one another. How will you live out Jesus' call? So again, celebrate the work you have done. You are keeping Jesus' commandments. And I can attest that the Spirit lives and moves here. And let us thank God who gives us the Spirit. The Spirit who will be with us forever. Amen.